Okay, so here we are. So today's Mother's Day, and I have a Mother's Day message. Is that right? I've titled it, What My Mother Taught Me. What My Mother Taught Me. Timothy's mother, her name was Eunice. Timothy the apostle. His name was Eunice. Her name was Eunice. And she taught him the Holy Scriptures from infancy. Of course, being a Jew, they were taught to teach your children when you wake up, when you lie down, when you walk, by the way, right? Proverbs chapter 6, Deuteronomy chapter 6. And so as a Jewish mother was required to teach the children, so she did. However, when I was an infant, my mother was not saved. She was the daughter of a pastor. My grandfather was a Baptist minister, but she didn't know the scriptures. But what she did know and what she did value, she did impart. I will say impart, because teaching, in the ghetto, teaching doesn't go quite like sit down for your daily Bible instruction. Turn to the book of, amen, it didn't go quite like that. In the ghetto, when you're struggling and life is hard, the instruction comes by way of when the radio on and James Cleveland comes on singing God Is, or the Voice of Supreme, which was one of her favorite groups, or so many different groups would come on, and then by her lifestyle. And so through her lifestyle, I don't ever remember her sitting us down and saying, you know, don't smoke, don't chew, don't run with those who do. I don't remember that. But it was imparted. Don't smoke, don't drink, don't do drugs, and don't live a life of immorality. Right? So I said all that to say that mothers, and we've looked at different mothers over the years in the scriptures. We could go on and on and on because the scripture's full, from Jochebed, Moses' mother, to the mother in 1 Kings who took her son to Elijah, or Elisha. And on and on and on we could go over the years. We have many different examples. Today, I want to look at Proverbs 31, and we're going to look at what King Lemuel's mother taught him. King Lemuel. When you go to Proverbs 31, you're used to going there for the teaching of the virtuous woman, and that would be a worthwhile study today, as well as it embraces motherhood. But I didn't want to keep you here all day, because I know Mother's Day dinner is waiting. Amen. And you're going to take her out and celebrate her. But Proverbs 31 in verse 1 reads this way. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Some versions may say the oracle or the prophecy that his mother taught him. And it goes on in verse 2, and it says, what, my son, and what the son of my womb, and what son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. The words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. Mothers, did you know that you were raising kings and queens? Did you know that you were raising kings and queens? That you are. Because somebody's child is king in Saudi Arabia. Hello? There was a queen by the name of Queen of Sheba. There's a queen over England today, and somebody raised them. We have a president. He's not a king or queen, but we have a head of state that somebody, some mother had to raise. Help her. that young child, and he's become what he is today. Now, not probably because of the mother, we don't know. But my point is this, is that we are raising kings and queens. Now, I don't know if King Lemuel's mother knew at the time, probably as royalty would have it back in those days, but she would be raising a king. Well, kings and queens have authority. Amen. And they rule over a kingdom. Hello? That authority is God-given. And the kingdom is themselves. You say, oh, I thought kings ruled over nations. Yeah, they do. But before you rule over a nation, you got to learn how to rule over yourself. Hello? Can I say it again? Oh, my goodness. I'm preaching to the choir. I'm feeling this now. Hello? I said, before you rule over others, you've got to learn how to rule over yourself. Before you can have control or God gives you authority over other people, you have to learn how to establish self-control. If you can't control yourself, you have no business controlling or ruling over others. Man, I think, look, I could say amen and we're done right there. If that was it, I'm telling you, that's enough. That's enough for everyone to go out of here and say, let me get my business together. Let me get my act together. That's right. Because God's word is complete in and of itself. I mean, what more needs to be said? I've got more to say, but don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that when you look at this, when you look that she's raising... She's speaking into the life of her child, which would eventually become a king. But he started as a child. And the instruction that she gives him, wow. Well, we'll dig into it. Traditionally, mothers spending the most time with the children are in the best position to instruct them. I said mothers traditionally spending the most time. Back in the day, mothers didn't work outside the home, at least in America. That was the norm. Mothers stayed home and reared the children. And so traditionally, they had the most time and were in the best position to instruct them. And so even if you read through the book of Proverbs, you know, Solomon would say things like, you know, listen to the instruction of your father and do not despise your mother's wisdom. And he would say things like that, right, over and over and over again, because it was constantly coming at them. And so the mother's instruction, and let me say, you know, as I just alluded to, instruction or teaching or being taught is not altogether and only, okay, son, we're going to be studying this today, but it's how you live your life. My pastor, who's going to be with the Lord, one pastor that I had used to say this: some things are better caught than taught. Some things are better caught than taught. And if we're going to be honest, most of what we learn is caught. It's not taught. You know, I've been for years, I've been learning how to, every year at the beginning of the year, I need to take off a few pounds. And I go read this article, read that article, and it's teaching, teaching, constantly teaching. What I do? Go eat the same thing. No change. But I caught something one day. Oh, yeah. I caught something one day. And when you catch it, or maybe I should say it got a hold of me. Amen? Things begin to change. Right? 2 Chronicles chapter 22 and verse 4. 2 Chronicles 22, 2 through 4. Reads this way: Ahaziah was 42 years old when he became king, and he reigned 1 year in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Athaliah, the granddaughter of Omri. He also walked in the ways of the house of Ahab, for his mother advised him to do wickedly. The scripture says his mother advised him to do wickedly. How impactful or how much does the instruction of a mother affect a child? Well, Ahaziah ruled 1 year in Israel. Then he was murdered. He ruled 1 year Why? Because he did wickedly. You remember Jezebel, that was Athaliah's mother. Jezebel taught Baal worship as the first lady. She was a queen. Remember I said we were raising kings and queens. Well, Jezebel was the first lady of Israel, and she taught Baal worship in the nation where God said the first commandment was, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Amen. And she's teaching Baal worship. Not only did she influence her son, but she influenced her husband, Ahab, who served Baal. And so we see a negative effect of a mother's instruction, because the scripture says, "For his mother advised him to do wickedly. He walked in all the wrong ways." But on the other hand, positive examples would be the likes of Hannah, Elizabeth in the New Testament, Hannah in the Old Testament, Eunice, Timothy's mother. Hannah prayed for Samuel, and the name Samuel means God heard. God heard. And God heard her to such an extent that she raised up this young boy, weaned him, and he was one of the few in the Bible who had a Nazarite vow on his life, and he had it his entire life, as Samson did. Elizabeth, the same way. She prayed for a child, and God gave her John the Baptist, and John the Baptist was another lifelong Nazarite. Mothers, what you teach is vital not only to your family, but for the nation as a whole. You know, it's something to see the impacts to your own family, but when you see that the child you're raising one day could be a governor, right, could be a mayor, could be president, could be a king, it takes on a whole different view. And so she says in verse 2, "What, my son, what? And what the son of my womb, what the son of my vows." These words indicate, as she says, "what the son of my vows," that she had taken on a vow and was believing God and asking God, "give me a son." As Hannah, remember, she vowed unto the Lord and said, "Lord, if you will give me a son, I will lend him to you for all of his life." And she took Samuel after she had weaned him, took him to the temple of the Lord and left him there, dedicated him to the Lord. So this woman seems to have had a vow. She was crying out to God for a son. And having gained this son, who's now a king, she's teaching him the ways to honor God in the office that he held. Ways to honor God in the office that he held. And that is what mothers do, whether they know it or not, is that What you're training a child to do, you're training a child whether you know it or not, either in more ways than one. Right? Constantly training. How, you say? By all the, you know, all the things I tell them to do? No, by all the things that you do. It's not by all the things you tell them to do. It's by all the things that you do. Hello. Fathers, we don't escape. Father's Day is a month away. We'll get there. Don't worry, we'll get there. And so she's training her son to honor God in the office that he held. That we should do the same with great fervency as we have children. You know, the other day I had a 9 o'clock appointment in Falls Church, and I pulled into the yard and knock on the door, and a woman answers the door. She has her, like, I don't know, he's four, maybe 3 or 4 years old, and she opens up the door, and I immediately discern that she's agitated, she's pressed, she just looks frustrated. And then I hear a baby screaming at the top of its lungs in the back of the house. And so, you know, I introduced myself, and she said, and she was like, "Well," and I could tell her heart was back there with the baby, and and she's telling me, "Well, I could clean this up. I could clean that up." And I just stopped her. I looked at her. I said, "Ma'am, go get your baby. I got this." And she says, "Well, thank you, thank you." And she runs back there, and she gets her baby. And later on, I'm in another part of the house, and everything's fine now. And we start talking about children again. And she said, She said, no one told me it was going to be this difficult. And we just had a little fatherly, daughterly type, you know, because she's a young lady. And I said, well, that's because it's really hard to convey to you. When you're older, it's really hard to convey it now that you're older, what you went through when you were young. Now, another young parent could really communicate it to you because you forget stuff over time. But she was so, and I started telling her, I said, but you know what? Before you know it, this little boy and your little girl are going to be going to college. So drink up every moment, okay, because it's not long. It's not long. And she began to share her heart, you know, with me about raising kids and family and all this. And she thanked me profusely again, went back to, thank you so much when you told me I could go. I just was so, and I was like, yeah, well, you know, you can replace carpet. Leave it there. So let's move on to verse 3. Because here come the instructions that she begins to give to her son. Do not give your strength to women, nor your ways to that which destroys kings. Now, the instruction that she's giving is actually antithetical to the times, because kings held harems. And we're talking about ungodly kings, but we're also talking about kings in Israel. Remember, there was one king in particular who had 700 wives. Fool. He was called the wisest king in Israel. But how on earth you have 700 wives and 300 concubines? I say, my father of mercies, how were you the wisest king? But you see, she said, this is a mother instructing her son. And listen, as important as it was then, is that much more important now? Why? Well, I mean, for them, it was, you know, Solomon a lot in the book of Proverbs cautions his children about the immoral woman. And we're used to that. But now, what she's telling her son, it's not the woman coming at the king. It's the king going at the woman. She says, do not give your strength to women. Why? Because self-indulgence does not establish a king. Self-indulgence does not establish a queen. Self-indulgence will destroy you. Hello? Bill Cosby. If there was anybody I looked up to growing up, from Fat Albert to I Spy or It Takes a Thief, whichever one he was in, to he was in both of them, okay. If there was any actor that I looked up to, if there was anybody who could make me laugh, I mean, just like, man, this is one funny dude with the, you know, with, yeah, Huxtable and clean, yeah. And to see him just fall, First Kings chapter 11. Verse 1, but King Solomon loved many foreign women, as well as the daughter of Pharaoh. So he had a wife. He married the king of Egypt's daughter.
Yes, he did.
But he loved many other women. Women of the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, Hittites, from the nations whom the Lord had said to the children of Israel, you shall not intermarry with them, nor they with you. Surely they will turn away your hearts after their gods. Solomon clung to these in love. Hello. And so, you know, it's one thing for a father to tell a son, son, don't fool with the women. It's another thing when a mother does it. Oh, I ain't getting no amen. Well, we'll go to another side. But this is what she's telling her son. Do not give your strength to them. Why? Because a mother knows a woman. I'm just trying to work through it. Should I tell some of these stories? Amen. Yeah, every now and then, sister so-and-so would come over to the house when I was single. My mother would be like, I would notice my mother look in the room. She'd be one of these. I'd be like, I'm judging from my mother how this thing going to work out. Amen. You hear me? Scripture says in verse 3 of 1 Kings 11, and he had 700 wives, princesses, and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For so it was when Solomon was old that his wives turned his heart after other gods, and his heart was not loyal to the Lord his God as was the heart of his father David. Now, you know, when the scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart, people like to go in and out about what was it about David that was so special? David committed murder. And he committed adultery. But God said about David, he was a man after my own heart. You want to know what it was about David? It's right here. It's right here. David, the sons of David, almost all the sons of David worshiped other gods at some point. Except not David. David never. David was the one who penned the Psalms. Come on, most of the Psalms. But David's heart never turned away from worshiping God, his father. But Solomon, the one whom the prophet said God called him Jedidiah, which means loved of the Lord. This one's heart turned away from God who accepted him. And his heart was not loyal to the God of his father. For Solomon went after the Ashtoreth, the goddess of the Sidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord and did not fully follow the Lord as did his father David. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, on the hill that is east of Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the people of Ammon. And he did likewise for all his foreign wives. How many foreign wives did he have? 700. Who burned incense and sacrifice to their gods. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice. Oh, the mercy and the grace of God. God comes to Solomon and appears to him twice. And he asks Solomon, says, Solomon, what do you want? Ask me anything. And he asked Solomon this, how good God was to Solomon. And what does Solomon do in return? He breaks the law of God. I'm going to marry whoever I want. He indulged himself. I'm rich. I'm king. I can do anything I want. Listen, be very careful when God gives you power and authority to do whatever it is you want to do. Be very, very careful. I'm telling you right now, I have, because I've paid off some debts, I have more money than I used to have, which means I can go out and buy more things. I'm not going to say stuff. I'm going to say more food. And thus, I have to be careful. I'm not talking about a whole lot of money because I don't need a whole lot of money to do bad. I don't need a whole lot of money. Ho-hos don't cost that much. But I'm just saying that when you have freedom, when God gives you the ability to do things, you have to be very careful because you're going to be held accountable for the freedom that you've been given. Hello? So Solomon was going to be held accountable. And it says, and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. God appeared to Solomon twice and said, he said, Solomon, I will establish your kingdom if you do not go and worship other gods. God told him that. You can go back and read it. But he did not keep what the Lord had commanded. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, because you have done this and not kept my covenant and my statutes, which I have commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom away from you. Listen to that. He was king. He was reigning over a kingdom. but because he did not control himself, because he gave himself to women, all of the consequences of that was, I'm going to take your kingdom away from you, Solomon. And that happens today. That happens today, where people not walking with God and their kingdom is taken away. So it's important, mothers, the job that you have, the job that you do in instructing your children, right? Verse 4, she goes on, and says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes intoxicating drink. And I know that, you know, that gets to you like, what is wine? What is this intoxicating drink, strong drink, the Bible says? Well, the Message Version says, leaders can't afford to make fools of themselves, gulping wine and swilling beer. Now you say, well, Pastor, are you telling me as a Christian I can't drink alcohol? No, I'm not telling you that. I'm not telling you that. I don't tell my children that, but my lifestyle would tell them, well, you know, well, Dad don't drink. No point in me drinking. You know, that'd be my lifestyle. My mother's lifestyle was she didn't drink, so I ain't got no point in drinking. Although if I was a person to drink, I would be a drunk because I love to drink. Whatever I drink a lot of it. I don't know about you, but I don't drink a little bit of water. I don't drink a little bit of milk. When I have milk, I have almost a half gallon. I drink it. I drink, okay? When I drink, I drink. Me and my mother used to sit down and talk. We would always thank God and say, I'm glad we're not drinkers, Mama, because we'd be drunkards. We would be drunkards because we drink a lot. Hello. Right? And so, yeah, I'm just keeping it real. That's real. So, but she's saying, you know, don't give yourself to excess. Right. This is what she's talking about here with the wine and the drink, right? Which takes us back to number 6 in the vow of Nazarite. The vow of Nazarite, there were 3 parts to it. You weren't supposed to touch a dead body, right? You were supposed to let your hair grow long, right? And you offer it to the Lord at the end of the vow. And then you weren't supposed to have intoxicated drink or anything from the grape. And of which Samson was a lifelong Nazarite. Samuel was a lifelong Nazarite. And John the Baptist was a lifelong Nazarite. Also brings to mind Jeremiah 35, where Rachab told his family, his whole family, that you'll dwell in tents, not in homes, and you won't drink any wine. And Jeremiah, the Lord told Jeremiah, go into the Rachabites and tell them, thus saith the Lord, set cups in front of them and a bowl of wine. Go into them. You can read it in Jeremiah 35. He sets cups in front of them. He says, the Lord says, drink wine. And they said, oh, not so. Not so, Jeremiah. He says, why won't you drink wine? He says, because our father has been taught us hundreds of years we're to dwell in tents and we're not to drink wine. And the Lord said, how come they obey their father, Rachab, but Israel won't obey me? It was prophetic imagery. It was a prophetic lesson that God had Jeremiah act out for the children of Israel. Because the earthly father was obeyed, but the heavenly authority was not. So, you know, but she is giving him instruction concerning that which will cause you to lose compassion, lose perspective. Because in verse 5, she goes on and says this, lest they drink and forget the law and pervert the justice of all the afflicted. Lest they drink and forget the law. Again, the Message Version says, lest hungover, they do not know right from wrong. Lest hungover, they do not know right from wrong, and the people who depend on them are hurt. And so that's what drinking to excess can do to one. It obscures your vision. It obscures reality. And can we take it farther by extension and say one drunk with power? Not only drunk on wine, but drunk with power. It begins to obscure reality. And one will begin to think that things aren't such as they are. And then you have a problem. And the people who need justice don't receive it. So self-indulgence causes one to focus on themselves while setting aside the law so they can indulge some more. We see this, it's always said of politicians, they say when they can be great politicians, but the moment they come inside the beltway, all of a sudden they change. And they all start living for the purse. They all start living for the influence that they can get and for their constituencies back at home, which also benefit them, and on and on and on it goes. When you are so gorged on dainties, you will pay no attention to or grant justice to those who are struggling. She says then in verse 6, give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. And so what do we have here? Actually, what we have is them using strong drink for the reason that we use drugs. It says, give strong drink to him who is perishing. When someone's in great pain, what do we do with hospice? When someone's at near death and they're in great pain, what do? We give them all the drugs that they need to remain comfortable until it's time to go. Okay? That's in effect what they did to anyone who was crucified on the cross. Remember during Christ's crucifixion? When he cried out for Elias, they said, and one rat grabbed a sponge and put it on a reed, dipped it in vinegar, and put it up to him. What was that for? It was to alleviate the pain that they were in as you're pushing up on your feet, which have nails in them, so that to lift up your diaphragm so that you could breathe. But every time you pushed up, it was pain here, pain, it was pain everywhere. And so they would try and relieve them. It says, give strong drink to him who is perishing and wine to those who are bitter of heart, trying to alleviate the pain. She's saying that's what strong drink is for. Not for getting drunk and laying around and doing nothing. Verse 8. Open your mouth for the speechless. Could spend all day here. Open your mouth for the speechless. One commentary says concerning Lemuel's mother, with remarkable conciseness, the mother of Lemuel describes the moral requirements of good government. Let me read that again. With remarkable conciseness, the mother of Lemuel describes the moral requirements of good government. That's what made the Hollywood tape so, and all the women coming out about this president, that's what made it so just, for real? This is really going on. Concerning the women, concerning the excess. She says, open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth, judge righteously, and plead the cause of the poor and needy. That's verses 8 and 9. So Lemuel's mother taught him to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves. Amen? That's what's going on here with these children, see? Amen. That's what's going on when we try to establish laws that prevent abortion. Because in your mind, if you go and ask anyone, would you like to be aborted? I can't imagine anyone saying, oh, well, yeah, I mean, if it makes my mother's life easier, yeah, take me out. I don't think so. Not only is it the honorable thing for a king to do, but for all of us to do. So I applaud, while, you know, laws cannot change people's heart, they still can change or save lives. And I applaud the work that is being done, that needs to be done regarding abortion, because we must speak up for those who don't have a voice for themselves, right? But we don't stop there. We don't stop there. The Me Too movement has given voice to countless women There were women who were abused, and it seems like over every industry. If you want to be in a movie, you got to do this for me. If you want to record this album or get in the door, then you got to do this for me. And that went on for how many years? And women did not have a voice, and they couldn't say anything. But, man, I'll never forget when that thing started being launched, and I was like, ooh, this appears to have the hand of God on it. And some people say, but it didn't start in the church. Since when did God start everything in the church? He's God over all things. He can do it any way he gets ready to, because some folk in the church are not going to open up their mouth. I said some folk in the church are not going to open up their mouth. So God's going to use the person that he deems is going to get the job done. Black Lives Matter continues to speak for those whose lives have been taken unjustly. Don't have a voice because you're a certain color. I can shoot you soon as I show up. Ask questions later. That's wrong. Plumb wrong. Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. But the same thing goes with God help them. Transgender people still need, they need protections. You say, well, Pastor, you agree? No, I don't agree with I don't agree. Transgender isn't even a sex. I mean, it's perversion. But they need protection because some people will kill them just because they don't like it. Hello? Anti-Semitism is going crazy around the world and in this nation. And we need to speak up. It needs to be fought against. Sex trafficking. On and on and on it goes. She instructed her son, who was king, but he was a son first. So not only should the king speak up for all these, but we should speak up.
Amen. We are
king. Not only, amen, amen. Not only should this king speak up, but we should speak up for it too. And when our voice will make a difference, we need to be there and let it be heard. And so God help us to speak up and to stand up against all that harms our neighbor. Because that is what she was teaching her son who became king. So you and I as kings and queens, hello, we are to open our mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die. Open your mouth and judge righteously. I'm sure if your mother did, you know, you don't say anything, but I'm sure your mother didn't teach you to go around telling lies. Okay? She didn't teach you that. No, she taught you to judge righteously, do what is right. And for that, we thank our mother. So what she instructed this king started as instruction to him as a child. It all began with what my mother taught me. Amen? Happy Mother's Day. Let's stand to our feet. Father, we thank you then for the fact that we're all here today because you blessed the mother. We're all here today because of the fruit of the womb that you gave our mothers. And Father, we thank you for our mothers who loved us, who gave their lives for us, who continue to give themselves. Lord, that mother-child bond that, Lord, you so beautifully portray yourself through. Father, we thank you for it, and we bless our mothers today. And we pray, oh God, Lord, that you would strengthen them. Lord, that they would know the love of God. They would know the love of their children. They would know peace and rest, Lord, and your glory in their hearts and lives. We pray, oh God, that your word, which has been sown amongst us today, would bring forth fruit that would be for the glory of God. And we ask it all in Jesus' precious name. And everyone said amen. Amen. Amen and amen. God bless you real good.